Thank the Lord for this beautiful Sunday morning and for each one of you that are here. And yes, we do want to acknowledge our mothers. You wouldn't be here if you did not have a mother. So we do honor mothers for giving us life. We still honor fathers too. But we thank the Lord for all of our mothers. Some of our mothers are gone. And we look back on our lives at that point when we lost our mothers. And it is a hard thing sometimes. We desire your prayers this morning. I appreciated the songs, both songs. I appreciated the song about encouraging our children to follow those things which the mother has taught. We are in a world where there are fewer mothers that are Christian mothers and teaching their children to do right than ever before. And so we do honor, God does honor mothers that teach their children to follow Him. Yes. I do not have a Mother's Day message. I have to follow what the Lord leads, and oftentimes it is not exactly to coordinate with the holiday or the day that we're celebrating. We have been ministering in the 23rd Psalms for a couple of Sundays, and our burden continues in the 23rd Psalms. So we're looking at verse 4, but we'll read the beginning through 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So this morning we would like to speak to you on this verse. This Psalms is probably the most noted Psalms of all chapters. Probably more people are familiar with this than any other Psalms. Oftentimes it is memorized, and oftentimes it is used for funerals, but it is one that I'd like to tell you what the title of it is in my Bible, and it says David's Confidence in God's Grace. So as we study this chapter, as we look at it, if we do it carefully and thoughtfully, we have to say, yes, it is to inspire my confidence in the Lord, in His way of following, of leading, and me following. It is a comforting passage. And overall, we would have to say that it is inspiring that we have the true shepherd that is leading us. But we want to look at the word valley for a little bit. Literal valleys oftentimes are beautiful places. We might even call them lush. Oftentimes a true valley will have hills or mountains that complement the view. I always think of a valley as being life-producing. The growth of the vegetation seems very prevalent, and it's just oftentimes seems like a beautiful place to live. I have pictures of different valleys that I have been in my mind. We have been to Yosemite. with the tall, rocky mountains all around and been down in that valley, and there's a beautiful, beautiful, clear, crystal clear, used to be anyway, I suppose it still is, river going down through that valley. I remember standing on the bank of that river and being so clear you could see the bottom, and it didn't look as deep as what it really was, but that's the deception of clear water. So valleys are a beautiful and wonderful thing literally, but spiritually we often think of valleys as being a place that is very low. We might say, oh, I'm down in the valley. And what that says is that I'm going through something hard. I'm going through something difficult. It will indicate that I'm having some trials and that I'm maybe going through some tribulations and maybe having trouble and sorrow. And so spiritually, a valley can represent a hard place in our walk with the Lord. Lorne and I have sung a song that, and I'm going to give you the first verse and the chorus, and it says, Lord, be my guide, help me climb life's rugged mountain. The second message that we had on this particular Psalms was about him leading us and him guiding us. And without him being our shepherd and guiding and leading us, we would not make it to heaven because we need a guide. But this says, the writer of this song begins to compare life situations or literal terrain, you might say, like the valley. It said, Lord, be my guide, help me climb life's rugged mountain. Be my captain, sail my ship upon life's sea. Be my shepherd, guide me safely across the desert. Put some lilies in the valley just for me. Then the chorus says, my feet may slip when climbing up life's mountain, and my ship may reel and rock upon life's sea. My feet may burn while walking through the desert, but my valleys, they just bring me to my knees. So valleys have a very important place in the walk of the Christian. Even though it may be a hard place, difficult place, it may be a low place, God is calling for you and me to land it, bring us to our knees. There's a portion of a song in our book, it says, I'm living low down in the valley, where sweet rose of Sharon doth bloom. And then it says, glory, its heavenly odor with fragrance my soul doth perfume. We can learn some things in the valley experience that we may not be able to learn on the mountaintop. We often relate a mountaintop experience to victory. And it's supposed to be easy on the mountain. But to climb the mountain is difficult. To go back down in the valley, it's difficult. But the Lord wants to use all of those experiences to help us and to guide us and to make a way for us to make heaven. Well, in this particular valley that is spoken of in the 23rd Psalms, it is the valley of the shadow of death. And we can apply this shadow of death to the adjectives that we have already used. It can be gloom, sadness, trouble, sorrow. It can be even darkness. It can be danger. But the most applicable is death itself, death or dying. People don't like to talk about death. We don't like to talk about dying. And yet, none of us is going to live forever. The scripture says it is appointed unto man wants to die. And of course it says, the ending of that says, and after that the judgment. But we are not going to live forever, and as we grow older we realize that, but in our middle years it is good for us to think about dying. There is a saying that says the grave is called the land of the shadow of death. The Bible speaks of the grave. One passage says that jealousy is cruel as the grave. Well, we're not speaking on jealousy today, but I can distinctly remember the first time that I ever visited our daughter's grave. I was not there when they buried her. So after I was able to make the trip to Guthrie, Lauren and I went to the grave. And that scripture was very made real to me. It was cruel. The grave is not a pleasant place to be. A cemetery is not the best place in the world to be. You can get comfort if your loved one has made it to heaven. You can maybe reminisce of the good times standing there. As a general rule, Lauren and I will visit her grave on her birthday and on her day of death. Those two events in her life are remembered every year. And as we stand there and look upon her and her past, her memory, there are some comforting thoughts. We are encouraged to know she is with the Lord. That's comforting. But overall, the cemetery is a weeping place. It is a place where people have shed many tears. They have experienced a grief that is a physical pain in the heart. And only those who have passed through it can understand that grieving for a loved one is actually a physical pain in the heart, and it takes time to be healed. The last few weeks, this congregation has been impacted by a number of deaths. Not only do we have family members who have lost several family members, but we have been praying for different individuals who have also passed on. Thus, it has affected this congregation. So death is very real. It is to help us. It's called a shadow because it is something that we pass through, the shadow of death, throughout our life. Every time we lose a loved one, we're passing through a shadow of death. A shadow is something that is, it's not the real thing. We're not dying. We have not died. But maybe our loved ones have, which creates a shadow of that death for us to get it into our hearts and minds, the reality of life and death, what God has said in His Word about death. We need to be reminded that I'm not going to live forever. I've said that already. That I'm going to face this time, and I must be prepared for it. That's what life is all about, is that during my life, God gives me time. He gives me opportunity. He presents those places. He speaks to our heart. He tries to draw us to Himself. The scripture said He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's His goal, His purpose, His desire for you and me to be ready when our time comes or when the end of the world comes. But death is on our track. There's also a saying that as soon as you're born, you're starting to die. Well, you may live 80 years, but you will come to that appointed time. So we need to remember that there is a very brevity of life, and that we are not going to live forever. Many times, as I have said, we pass through this shadow of death with the family members, with friends, with the saints. We can feel it when we lose someone among the saints that we have had great confidence in, we've looked up to. So we pass through it. I thought of even when we have a national figure to move off of the scene, so to speak. Specifically, I'm thinking of President Kennedy. It was a shocking day, a shocking event when that took place, and most people that were alive and had the ability to recall that moment that they heard it, they could probably tell you even today what they were doing at that moment that they heard that he had been assassinated. That's on the national scene, and even that is like a shadow of death. It caused our nation to stop for a little and to think about. When the event happened with the Twin Towers, it had an impact on our whole nation for a time. God desires these kind of things to get our attention and to count the cost. There is a cost for you and me to be saved. We can't just slide along in life. The scripture speaks about the broad way, that many are choosing the broad way, that many are going down the broad way, and the end of it is destruction. And then it speaks about there is a narrow way, a straight way, a way that is hard. And it says, choose life. He said, I set before you this day life and death. Who wants to choose death? He said, choose life. Choose the narrow way. Choose the straight way. For the end is what? Everlasting life. I want to tell you this morning that you and I, every day that we live, we face these choices and we face death because we have not died yet. So David here is saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll just stop right there, comment on the other later. Want to make a few comments about grief, about walking through this shadow. Oftentimes, if it is a sudden death, it is a very hard, if it's unexpected, it's very hard to bear. Partly because, as human beings, we like to think that we are able to say goodbye. When one has a terminal illness and there are opportunities to be able to commune with that one, to express your love, to say I'm sorry if you needed to say you're sorry, you have that opportunity, and it makes the death much less hard to bear. Although death is always hard to bear, death is such a final separation. We're going to read some scriptures about what the scriptures say about death. But even our children, the world says, oh, don't let your children go to funerals. It'll affect them. But I want to tell you, it is good for children to understand what death is all about. They need to go to the funerals. They need to understand that a person's life means something and that it is spoken of at the end of the funeral. I mean, at the funeral. And oftentimes we'll say that we, everyone, preach our own funeral. So we know. We can say many good things at the end of a life, but the life that has been lived has been a testimony of that life, and those that have witnessed it, they understand when it's spoken of in trueness at a funeral. So both the sudden death and the terminally ill death is hard. So in this passage, we want to also talk about the confidence and the faith that is in this passage. God has a comfort that only He can comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And I have testified different times in the messages here how that the Lord has, when we lost Jan, that the Lord carried us. He literally carried us. He was a true comforter. We know when He let us down to walk on our own again. He has a way of helping His people through those hard valleys where there is death. He upholds us. He is a healer of the heart that is broken. I remember Aunt Margaret would call me every week, and she would say the same thing to me. She would say, "Maxine, let the Lord heal your broken heart." And then she would say, "There are many people that won't let God heal their broken heart. They keep the wound open and running sore." And she said that to me every week. And I got a hold of that by faith. And I, as the grief would come upon me, and maybe I would be driving down the road and the tears would begin to fall, but I would cry out to the Lord and I would say, "Oh God, give me some fresh comfort." My testimony is He stopped my tears every time. This is what it means to trust in a God who is a God of all comfort. You and I are going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death many times from this day forward. We've passed through it this past month, and we're going to do it again. And God can be a comfort to you and me, whomever He chooses to take from our life. If He takes our companion, I think that's one of the hardest. I've witnessed others who have passed through that. I would not long to pass through that time. I've always admired Sister Nelda. Sister Nelda has had such an example of the comfort of God in her life. And her condition is such that she is dependent, and yet the Lord has carried her and blessed her. I've observed Irma. I've observed the grace that the Lord has given to Irma. I've observed graces in those who have lost their companion that I have to say I admire. And I've often said, if I have to go through that, I hope I can do it like Sister Nelda or some of these others. I've said that. But we have other losses in our life. Maybe our parents, or one of our parents, or a sibling, or a child, or grandparents. All of those losses has an impact on us, and it's a shadow of death. We're not going through the death. It's there to help me to stop and think, I'm headed that way. That's where I will be. Someday I will be there. I need to be ready. I need to take it seriously. Oh, you say this is a morbid message today, but it is to remind us. It is to stir up our pure minds, by way of remembering these things. Don't just live one day at a time and get so engrossed in your life that that day comes upon you unaware. You be looking for it and preparing for it. And you be seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to be ready when my time comes. Do you pray that way? I pray that way. Lord, help me to be ready. Help me not to miss heaven. Listen, there's only two places that you can go to. You're not an animal. An animal that dies out here, that's the end of them. But man has a living soul. When God breathed into your nostrils, when your mother gave birth to you, and you breathed, God made you and me a living soul. And that soul belongs to God. That's what He gave you. And He's saying, what are you doing with your soul? And He says, someday you're going to give it back to me. You're going to come before me and give an account of all of the deeds that have been done in your body. That's the word of God. So we're all facing the judgment. We're all facing death. And we need to take life seriously because death is at the end of that life, our life. Some scriptures now. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. A portion of that, David said this. He said, there is but a step between me and death. Did you know that death can come to you and me in a moment? You can die in a moment. You will not have time to pray. There are people that do have time to pray. But there are others that it's just like a little thread. The thread of life. And it's just snapped in two. And that's the end. You are plunged out into eternity. That's the shadow of death. The valley of death. That's where you and I are. Think about those things. Many people go out into eternity in a moment. We think about the car wreck that occurred just up on I-35 just a few days or weeks ago. A man driving south on I-35 with his 2-year-old child did not think he was going to come to his end in the next 2 minutes. And suddenly another car crosses over and hits him head on. And he and his little child are taken suddenly. You know, we hear these kind of things. How does it affect you? That's a shadow. That is supposed to make you think about time and eternity. It's supposed to make you think about your soul. It's to make you think, I could die like that too. You could. Many things like that happen. I know when we were growing up, and maybe we would read the book of Touching Incidents, and oh, I was so affected by reading stories about people that died. And I'm going to say that the ministry of that age preached more on death and dying. And it affected people. It caused them to think about their soul and to recognize, I need to be saved. Before I leave this world, I need to be saved. That's what it's supposed to do. It's the reality of life. So David said, there is just but a step between me and death. And I'm going to say that to everyone here this morning. There is only a step between you and death this morning. 2 Samuel 14 and 14. It says, for we must needs die. Do you ever pray to not die? those of you that know me personally, you know that I have said I really don't want to grow old. Some might say, well, you might live to be 80. No, I don't want to be 80. I'm old. I've reached an age that the Bible says, if you live 70 years, that's pretty good. If you live to 80 years, you know, God's added strength to you. Can I share another testimony with you? Because it's part of grief. After Jan died, I did not want to live. And I had some injuries in the wreck that I thought that I was going to die. And I wouldn't tell anyone because I didn't want anyone to pray for me to be healed. I wanted to die. I still remember exactly where I was. It was after I was back on my feet and I was in a grocery store and I was suffering. And I was saying to myself, well, it won't be long now. Going down the grocery aisle. God spoke to me as plainly as he ever did, and he said, do you want your husband and your children to grieve for you like you have Jan? I hadn't thought of that. All of a sudden, I realized what my death would do to my husband and to my children. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want them to grieve like that. And then I said, Lord, I promise I will want to live if you will heal me. And he healed me on the spot. In that grocery store, I had a divine healing. As soon as it happened, I thought, oh, I said I would promise to want to live. Did you know God wants you and me to live until it's time for us to die? He wants us to give ourselves to the life that he has given to us. God helped me to want to live. Now I'll tell you something else. I said I didn't want to grow old, and I am old. But, and I know somebody's smiling back there that's older than me. But do you know what? I've come to a place that I ask God to let me live. If I can still be a help to someone else. If I can still be a comfort to someone else. If I can help someone else, it's worth getting old. I want to die when it's my time to die, but I want to live until that time. I don't want to be going through the shadow of death and hoping it happens tomorrow just to escape. That's why people take their lives. They think they are escaping what they call hell on earth. But there's a judgment for that kind of escape. They've committed a sin that is unforgivable because there's no prayers after death. We cannot pray out of hell. That's a serious thought. But we need to be serious about living for the Lord in this day. In this day. So he said, for we must needs die. And then he compares you and me like water. And art as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons. There's nobody that God is going to say, well, you're going to live a long, long life, and you're not. Each one of us have an appointment. And our life The word of the Lord gives a picture of our life. When we start out and we're just a baby, how precious a baby is. How precious the little children are. And we pass through every phase of life. I've been there now. I can look back and see every phase of my life. And the Lord says, your life is like this. And then I'm going to give you some of the scriptures. It says that you and I are, our life is like a shuttle. It's like grass. It's like, it's here one day and gone the next. Our life is so short at the longest. When you get up in years, you look back and you say, where did all of that time go? How did I get here? I said it to Lauren the other day. How did we get here? He said, one day at a time. So you and I are living one day, one week, one month, a year, and pretty soon it's many years. And the scripture tells us that we are just, it's so fast. Another scripture in Ecclesiastes 8:8. It says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath power in the day of death. We're living in what we might call miraculous times. There are people that die, and the medical profession is able to bring them back. I have a cousin that actually flatlined about 27 times and was brought back each time, and he's still alive today. Those are miraculous things. But there is coming a day that he will die. His time will be up. He will not have the power over his spirit, and neither will he have power in the day of his death. Nothing will save him at that time. In closing, I'd like for us to consider the death of the righteous. Psalms 116 and 15. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is what? The death of his saints. Sometimes we might say, I wish they could have lived a little longer. Maybe someone we've depended on. Maybe someone that we have loved and enjoyed being around. And we might say, I wish they could live a little longer. Yet in the eyes of the Lord, that saint of God, their death is precious. Let's not forget that. Even if we lose one of our own loved ones, let's remember how the Lord is looking on that death. He's longing for them to be where he is. There is a scripture that also says this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Somebody was looking on the righteous and observing their end. Have you observed someone's end that was righteous? I have. I've been by their side. I've observed. And oftentimes it said things like this, oh, It was an easy passing. That's when the Spirit of the Lord is giving that passing that is precious. I remember my father when he found out that he had cancer. He said, "I didn't want to die a suffering death." And the doctor said, "Oh, you don't have to die a suffering death. We have this medicine and that medicine, and you won't have to die a suffering death." As you know, my dad got saved during his last illness. He truly got saved. Did you know that they had the morphine in the refrigerator for him and he never needed it? The hospice nurses would come and they would say, "Mr. Dean, how are you doing today?" "I'm just tired." That's all he ever said. He never suffered. He had an easy passing. He had the death of the righteous. Oh, let us be as the one that wrote this. "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his." Philippians 1 and 21, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Have you ever heard of people that say, "Either way, live or die, it will be okay"? There's victory when you come to the place that you can say, "Whether I live or whether I die, it's okay." And Paul said that. I remember another time when I was afflicted and I felt like I was in a cage. Brother Stanley and Sister Karen came down to pray for me. Brother Stanley, I'll never forget how he wept before we prayed. And this is what he said to me. He said, "You know, Maxine, when you consecrate to live or die, you'll get out of that cage." I went to the bedroom and I prayed by myself. And I came back in and I said, "I'm ready. I'm ready. Live or die." And the victory came. There's victory when you're submitted to the will of the Father. There's victory. There's grace. There's power. There's might. And so this says, if I live, it's for Christ. If I die, I'm gaining my crown. Either way, it's okay. That's the kind of death of the righteous. And let his last end be like his. Revelations 14 and 13. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Oh, I want to tell you, cling to the Lord. Make sure that all is clear between you and the Lord. And then the rest of the verse there in Psalms, it says, "I will fear no evil." We do not have to be afraid to die if we're righteous. If we are a child of God, if we are saved, if we are sanctified, he will take away all fear in death. It will be like David said, there's just one step between me and death. And you can step right over into eternity without fear. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Having the presence of the Lord in our life is more valuable than gold. All of the money of the world cannot buy that precious presence of the Lord. He's with us. So we don't have to fear. The rest of that passage says, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, if we took it at face value, we'd think a rod is something that he whips us with. And the staff, both of those were instruments of comfort to the sheep. The rod would keep them in line. The staff would keep, and it would also protect them from predators. So the rod, it stood for protection. And the staff, he would guide them with it. He would keep his sheep in line. And so what if he has to correct us? The scripture says that if he corrects us, he corrects us because we are his sons. We are his daughters. And he does it to save us because he loves us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. May we all be very conscious that we have a soul that is going to stand before God. He's going to call for it. And there's coming a day that you will face your appointment. And you know, we don't say those things to make you scared. What we hope that you got out of the message is that to live a godly life is well worth it. When I come down to the end of my life, I want to die the death of the righteous. I want my end to be like his. Pray for me.